Hey, everybody. Good morning. Can you guys hear me good? Or is that well? I don't know. Yeah. Can you hear me well? Good. You can hear me, right? Okay. Awesome. So, yeah, thanks for braving. Apparently, you know, the day we decide to put on heels and get gussied up, the escalator goes out. So, thanks for finding the room. So a little bit about today, if we can, we're going to adjust for Q&A, so I'm going to have Q&A towards the end, but you know what, I'm a social media person, so I want you to feel free if I say something that you don't understand or something that you want clarity on so that you can move forward in your mind with us. I want you to stop me, raise your hand, and ask questions. There are mics right in the center of each aisle, so that's... So that's good, so you can go to the mic so that everyone can hear your question. I want to talk today about influence. And for those of you who know me, you know that I speak a lot about social media and social media marketing specifically for women entrepreneurs. And that is true, but when they asked me to speak at this fabulous conference, first of all, I just want to say, I love Austin. I mean, really? I get to wear open-toed shoes, and I'm from New York. It's freezing there now. So when they asked me to speak at this conference, they asked me to talk about expanding the influence, not just in the realm of social media, but just expanding your influence in general, right? And so I said, sure, I can do that, absolutely. And... before we really get into the meat of what I want to talk to you about today, I want to tell you a bit of a backstory because this will help you to understand where I'm coming from. I am extremely, extremely passionate about women entrepreneurs and expanding their influence. And this is why I talk about influence specifically. I talk about influence specifically because... nobody wants to talk about money because it's hard to talk about money. We all have money stuff. We have money issues. We bring money baggage to the money table, and we don't want to talk about it. And as women, what we do is, for whatever reason, right, wrong, we can talk about that at lunch, we place our value of our business, the money that we make in our business, we place that value on how much we feel we're worth, for whatever reason. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to put the focus on influence, because here's what I've seen happen in my own career. The more influential I became, the more money I made. It's like a Karate Kid, wax on, wax off, right? The more influential I became, the more money I made. So I really didn't have to kind of go there with my own money stuff. I'd started to focus on influence. About 2010, I changed my company name. So we used to be Zyno Media. Now we're Influence Expansion. And I changed it because I had a conversation with my coach. And she issued a challenge. And she said, where are you going with this? Where are you taking your career? Where are you going? And I said, well, you know, I'm pretty good at what I do. And she said, that's not what I asked you. And I said, well, you know, I speak and I write and this is what I want to do. And she said, yeah, that's not what I asked you either. And so I had to really think, where am I going? What am I doing? I speak at conferences like this one all around the country internationally. And as my coach asked me this question and I thought about it, I really had to admit that I had a competing commitment. I had a serious competing commitment. Because when I thought about the answer to the question she asked me, I thought to myself, I said, I want to make sure that every single solitary woman entrepreneur knows what to do to expand her influence so that she doesn't, no matter what her budget is, no matter how much money she's got, no matter what her deal is, I wanted to make sure that women like you, had access to top quality information. And so my coach said to me, she said, well, you know, I don't know how that's going to work because it costs $20,000 to work with you. And I said, okay, and what's the problem? And she said, well, you're saying no matter what the budget, but if someone doesn't have $20,000 to engage you, how the hell are they going to work with you? And I thought, yeah, good point. And so I thought and I thought and I thought and I thought about it. And in 2010, what I decided to do was I decided to create an academy. And I did. I created an academy, the Influence Expansion Academy, and I knew that I wanted to make it affordable no matter what. And so our programs and everything, they start at $5 a month, believe it or not, right? And I don't say this to you to sell you, but I say this to say, I am committed to this. I am committed to making sure that you know exactly what to do so that you're standing on stage, so that people call you for commentary for the media, so that people ask you to speak at their conferences, so that people ask you to participate in their telesummits. It's all about expanding your influence, and that is my life's work. I focus, again, on influence because the other thing I realized is, as we started talking about price points and how much it took to work with me and that sort of a thing, I realized that I'm speaking at these conferences, and women would walk up to me and say, Lena, I think you're fabulous, but I can't afford to work with you. Lena, I think you're great, but I can't afford to work with you. Lena, I think what you said was awesome, and I'd love to hear more, but, you know, I'll reach out to you when I'm ready to work with you. And I kept hearing it over and over and over. And at first I didn't understand, and then I read some statistics that completely blew my mind, and it was a sink. It synced everything up for me. One statistic was, obviously, we make less money than men. You know, what is it, 78 cents on the dollar, 79 cents on the dollar now, right? But the other thing, this is the key piece. Men save 2.5% of their income. Women save 1.7%. So who do you think has more disposable income to go to conferences, to work with coaches, to do all of the things that you do to build your business, to join mastermind groups, etc.? It's men. And then I became really whole hog on starting the academy. And this is my life's work right now, because I know that if I can do this, you can do this. I know everybody says that, and you're like, oh, well, you know, maybe. But seriously, if I can do this, you can do this. And today, I'm going to show you exactly how. I want to talk for a moment about influence and the definition of influence. And I'm going to move my mic up because I think you guys can hear me better if I move my mic up. Is that better? Better? Okay, awesome. The definition of influence has gotten a bad rap, admittedly. It's gotten a really bad rap. It's bad now? It's still bad? Hello? I know, it's got to be. No, it's. I don't know how to put it higher. I'm going to have to, it's a trendy collar. Oh my God, is it my fashion that's causing a problem? Clutch the pearls? What about now? No? Okay, hold on. Sorry, guys, technical difficulties. Yeah, but. All right, I'm doing it. How about now? No? Here's the deal. I'm just going to do this, all right? Are you guys cool with that? Because I don't know what else to do, and I got to move. I can't stand behind this thing. Okay, so influence, I think, has gotten a bad rap. Because we associate influence with manipulation and twisting people's arms and getting them to do things that they may not necessarily do on their own, right? And I want to give you an alternative definition of influence to take some of the energy, some of the negative energy out of influence and how to be influential. Sometimes it's seen as social climbing or something like that. There's just such negative energy around it. How many of you in here are moms or are in charge of someone smaller than you? Okay, great. I have to say that because I raised my nephew, so I'm not a mom by birth, but I raised them. Influence as my definition, is getting someone to do what you ask them to do when you ask them to do it. Right? So it's not just clean your room, it's clean your room now. It's not just take the trash out, it's take the trash out now. Right? So we can probably all convince someone to do what we ask them to do, but the key factor is when you ask them to do it, right? So clearly, the Texas Conference for Women, they're very influential because they've all asked us to come here today and speak or attend, and they've said, come on this day, and we're all here, right? So you can't have an event and people show up whenever they want to. You have an event and people show up when you ask them to show up. I think that definition diffuses influence and the negative energy around it, because I think it's got, again, like that mafia connection energy, like, hey, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse kind of a thing. And so that definition of influence, getting people to do what you ask them to do when you ask them to do it, has really worked for me. It's worked for my private coaching clients and my students. What influence is not? I think we talked about that a little bit already. It's not trickery. It's not social climbing. It's not stepping on somebody's neck so that you can get what you want. I think there's a lot of talk out there about not enough. And when we say, well, oh, well, you know, I don't want to step on this person, or I don't want to have, because there's enough for everybody. There's enough for everybody. It's not a limited supply of influence. It's not a limited supply of eyeballs or attention or anything like that. There's enough for everyone. So when we start thinking about influence and we start kind of bringing the negativity into it and we start thinking, oh, well, this is about social climbing, or this is about me, you know, having more spotlight than someone else, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the definition I mentioned earlier, getting people to do what you ask them to do when you ask them to do it. I want to talk a minute about influence, and I'm going to go to another website here so you can see this chart more clearly. How many of you are familiar with clout? Clout, where they tell you, okay, great, awesome. So they can tell you kind of your online influence. And I'm a metrics person. I need to see something. I don't want someone to say, oh, Lena, you're so influential. Yeah, right. Show me the proof. Show me the numbers, right? There's a, I'm not bullish on clout for a couple of reasons. They've changed their algorithms. Tech people like me don't really care for how they've changed their algorithms. There's an instance of where some guy put a robot on Twitter, and because he had 42 mentions on Pinterest or something like that. Well, actually, it doesn't count on Pinterest. That's the other problem with it. There were 42 mentions on Twitter. It was a robot, and the robot had a higher influence score than Steve Jobs, which was like crazy. Like, ridiculous. So I use Cred, KRED.com. And again, this is just online, right? But you can see what's going on here, right? So you get to see bloggers, my top community. Who are my people? My people are bloggers, right? So I'm in the social media space. So my people are bloggers, my people are social media people, and my people are marketing people. Right? That makes sense based on what I do. That makes perfect sense. What I also like about Cred is it tells you your influence points, so you can kind of see that, okay, this is how many influence points. And by the way, like, don't get wigged out because of that 77,000 number. There are people who have like 250,000, 300,000. I'm sure Martha Stewart is like a million. And you get to see my influence, 755 out of 1,000. So it gives you a gauge, whereas clout is like 60, an influence of 65 out of what? Like, what's my highest possible, you know, you just don't know. And it shows you my outreach level. And as you go down, and it shows the Texas Conference for Women, yay. And as you go down, it shows you It's got graphs in here of daily mentions. It shows you one of my last blog posts. I blogged about Russia and drinking vodka. it was a good post. And so you can kind of see exactly what's going on. Now, for those of you who are not in the online space, that's okay. That's cool. You can use Cred too, just to see. Because what I found is that your online gives you a good idea of what's going on for you offline. So Cred is free. You can use it. You can link in with your Facebook account or your Twitter account. You can log in. And it's a really, really great, I think that's me on stage somewhere. I don't know what I'm doing, but yeah, that's me. And so you can kind of see, it's like your dashboard. It's like your influence dashboard. And you get a good idea of where you are in terms of growing your credibility and your influence. And that's why I like Cred more than Clout. So it's really important to take a look at what your numbers are. And I'm going to go back here. So that was that. Oh, great. Clicker, please. There we go. So it's really important. So that's where that screenshot comes from. And I encourage all of you to go to Cred and see what your scores are and look at your marketing activity online and see how you can how you can boost that. It's also very important to strike the right balance between being influenced and influencing other people. Very, very important, because you will never be seen as someone who has a high level of influence if you're constantly repeating what other people have to say. You have to take the stuff that you learn in everyday life and turn it into little nuggets that people can benefit from. You've got to take all of the information. We all read different things. There was a time when I wouldn't even release my reading list. People would say, well, what books do you read? And I'd be like, I'm not telling. Right? So it was like a huge like government secret, because I at one point felt like, you know what, this is where I get my ideas, this is where I get my strategy, this is my mojo juice, and that for me was very important. And so you have got to look at what are you reading, who are you listening to, and figure out how much of that am I going to share with my clients. How much of that am I going to share with my team? And what does that look like for me? How am I going to share that information? So a lot of people know me for my like little kind of, I guess, small quips, little one-liners. And one of them is, if you don't ASK, you don't GET. So here's a prime example of taking something that I learned and turning it into my own, so that that person influenced me, but I've also taken that information and I use it to influence other people. So someone said to me one time, I was doing something, and I said, well, I'm not sure. And he said, well, you know what? If you don't ask, you don't get. And I thought, yeah. And so I turned it into, you don't ASK, you don't GET. And if you Google it, it's all over the internet, and it's attributed to me in that way, right? So you have to take, that's just a small example of taking something that you've seen or heard elsewhere, something that has influenced you, something that you'd like to share with your audience, and turning that into a little nugget that you can use to influence the people in your orbit. I want to talk about four things that you can do to be more influential. And as my coach says, this is a writer downer. First thing is your mind state and your commitment. You have got to make the decision that you want to be more influential. That doesn't mean that you have to turn into someone that you're not. That doesn't mean that you have to put on airs. That doesn't mean that you have to be and act and be in the world in a way that doesn't resonate with you. That just means that you have got to make the decision, you know what? I'm going to change things. I'm tired of being the best kept secret, right? How many times have you worked with your clients and they say, oh my gosh, you're the best kept secret? And you're like, gee, thanks. Like, I don't know if that's a compliment or what, right? You got to get committed, right? My coach says either you're interested or you're committed. When you're interested, you're like, yeah, maybe I'll get to that influence stuff. I'll try to be more influential. Maybe I'll get to that when I get around to it. When you're committed, you show up and you do whatever it takes. When you're committed, you think every single day, what can I do today to be more influential? Maybe I can write a blog post. Maybe I can go out and see if this organization will hire me to speak. Maybe I can sit down and have a strategy session with my team. Because this is not just about how you're influencing out there. It's also how you're influencing in your own four walls within your own company. Right? You know that you're being influential when you start getting asked to speak at conferences. You know you're influential within your own organization. I don't care if it's just you and a VA who lives in California or someplace 1,000 miles from you. You know you're being influential because then that person starts coming to you with ideas for your business. So what are you doing? You're influencing them to get on board about your mission. And the only way to do that is to sit down and talk to people, have conversations, include them in your strategy sessions. But that takes commitment. No one's going to say, hey, Lena, here's a box of influence and drop it in your lap. You got to want it. You got to go get it. And I want to just say here, too, when I talk about mind state and commitment, for some reason, people think that this means that you've got to be more masculine, and it's so not true. Here's a huge example of that. I mean, I am such a girly girl. Like, I like shoes, and I like fashion, and I don't like that my collar is interfering with my mic. Like, you know, you can be whatever being a woman means to you. You can do that and be completely okay in your feminine essence. You don't have to be like a dude. You don't have to be like a guy. Prime example of that, Kathy Ireland. How many of you guys know Kathy Ireland? Right? Okay. How many of you know Kathy Ireland from her modeling days? How many of you know what she's up to now? Okay. Kathy Ireland, like model, right? You know, so like kind of definition of femininity and being on display and that sort of thing, pretty and that whole bit, right? She's got a $1 billion business. Okay, I'm going to say that again. She's got a $1 billion business with a B. Right? Talk about being committed. Talk about being who she is. I mean, she hasn't changed. She's still gorgeous, still a fabulous woman. But she has got some serious purse power. $1 billion business, and it's just growing. And you know what? She's not on reality TV. You don't see her selling her soul. You don't see her every single 5 minutes on Talk Soup. She's not on Entertainment Tonight. She's quietly making her billions of dollars. She's just cashing those checks every single day, right? You can do that. Doesn't require you to be someone you're not. And Kathy, for anyone who knows her, her faith is like of utmost importance to her. And she'll tell you that in a minute. It's in everything that she does. It's in everything that she writes. It's the underlying principles of her business. So she has taken what works for her. She has taken her own mojo, her own secret sauce, if you will, and she's turned that into a $1 billion business. And you can do that too. Do you know when you break down having a $1 million business, do you know that when you break that down, that means you sell something worth $1,000 before lunch and you sell something worth $1,000 after lunch? And I'm here to say, when you have a day like that, I've had days like that. I sell something worth $1,000 in the morning and I sell something worth $1,000 at noontime. Guess what? I get out of there. I go get a mani-pedi. I bail because it's over, right? That's my million. That's one day towards my $1 million mark. When I learned that, I thought, wait, so you mean if I sell something for $2,000 in the morning, I can bail? right? It's all in how you think about it. So often we have these huge goals ahead of us, and we think, oh, I'll never have a $1 million business. Yeah, you can. Sell $1,000 in the morning, sell $1,000 in the afternoon. If you do that by noon, I give you permission to leave the office. Well, if you're employed by someone else, then that may cause a little problem. I want to talk about the second thing, right, which is tool selection. What do I mean by that? Really, really influential people only do one or two things. They're on one or two social networks, right? So I, in terms of like being offline, I focus on one or two things: speaking, writing. Speaking, writing. All you have to do, you don't have to do a million things. You don't have to send newsletters and send out postcards and mailing campaigns and direct mail campaigns and PR. And you don't have to do all that. Just do one or two things and do it damn good. Commit to one or two things. People say to me all the time, Lena, I see you everywhere. And I said, do you see me or do you see my marketing? And they go, wow, yeah, it's your marketing. All you have to do is one or two things and do them really, really, really well. You don't have to do 9,000 things. You don't have to market yourself like, you know, crazy pinwheel lady. You can just do one or two things and you're fine. The third thing is influencer engagement. This, number three, is everything. You should be writing it down. Everybody should be writing it down, because this is the piece that people miss. This is the piece that people get wrong. They omit it. They don't do it right. Whatever it is, this is the stumbling block for every single person I know who wants to be more influential, who wants to make the money, who wants to be invited to speak at the conferences, who wants the media to call you. Every single person gets this wrong. Here's an example. Recently, I was on Gayle King's morning show, CBS This Morning. First of all, I didn't even know that Gayle had wasn't on Oprah's network anymore. I don't watch the news. It's so bad. I didn't realize that she wasn't on Oprah's network. I said, where's Gayle? I haven't seen her on OWN in a while. What's doing with her? What's going on? And I sat down with my team that day, and I said, well, who are my influencers? Who are the people that I need to be able to reach so that I can do what I need to do in the world, so that I can come and speak to women like you and groups of women and that sort of thing and run my academy? Who are the people that I need to become BFFs with? And Gayle King was on the top of the list, because Oprah is kind of untouchable. so I'm like, maybe Gayle King. Start with that as a goal. So true story. I went through, I created a list with my team. I mean, literally, this is bare bone stuff. I wrote it down. Just wrote some stuff down. I wrote down names of people who I wanted to really get to know. I tack them up in front of, on the side of my desk, on the wall right near my desk, and that list was in front of me every single day. That evening, while I was eating dinner, I went on Facebook and I searched for those people, and I saw whether they had Facebook pages or not. I liked their Facebook page, so now it comes up in my news stream, their updates. And the next morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, I went on Facebook and I just checked to see what was going on. I'm not saying that you have to be on Facebook at 7 o'clock in the morning. This is just my story. And I just, because I'm nosy like that, right? Because I wanted to see what happened and what did I miss and what's going on with the updates. I go on at 7 o'clock in the morning and Gayle King had asked a question on her Facebook page. And she said, what is your favorite travel website and why? And 15 minutes had passed. Now, this woman has, I don't know, I think 30,000 likes on Facebook. It's some crazy amount of likes on Facebook. And no one had answered her. I thought, is that real? Nobody is responding to Gayle? What's going on? And so I wrote in. I said, you know what? I love TripAdvisor because I get candid reviews from people who are like me, and I feel like I can trust it. And it's not, you know, the hotels and the destinations doing their spin marketing thing. I get to see real pictures from real people who are like me who have visited this property and see what their ratings are. Guess who was on the Gayle King show? Right? Because I recognized her as an influencer, and I went after her. I was paying attention. No one is going to drop opportunities for influence in your lap. Now on my website, it's biggest day on my media page. It's like me and Gayle King, like a screenshot of us. Right? So now, like, in my mind, I'm BFFs with her, but I'm getting there. But no one is going to drop these kinds of opportunities into your lap. You have to go out there and seek them. And it's a step-by-step-by-step process. You don't wake up all of a sudden just because you want to be more influential and you're more influential. It's you sitting down, writing that list of people, tacking it up on your wall, making sure it's in your face every single day, and then figuring out, you know what, how am I going to engage these people? Not where you live on your blog, but where they live. So Gayle King is a big Facebook person. So guess where I engaged her? Absolutely. Very, very important. Here's my clicker. Very important. The fourth thing that you have to do, and this is the piece that you must do once you start down this road, is you have to have accountability. I am damn good at what I do, but I do nothing unless my coach's foot is in my neck. And for a long time, I wasn't proud of that. I thought, what is wrong with me that every single time I need to take the next step in my business or grow my business, someone's got to be kicking me in my butt to do it? And I had a really fabulous, one of the top leadership coaches in the world, Dr. Grant. He does the Myers-Briggs. He's the top Myers-Briggs expert. And he said to me, he said, what do you care? Why do you care whether or not someone has to force you to do what you say you're going to do? You just realized the key to your success. You just realized what it takes for you to be successful. You just realized your own success formula. So now that you know that, I advise you to go and get coaches in every single area of your life you want to improve in. And make change happen in your life in that way. And that's exactly what I did. And it was like skyrocket. Anybody who's coaching you should have a coach, and you should have a coach. There's a website called coachmefree.com. If you can't afford coaching, that's fine. Coachmefree.com. These are all people who are in the process of becoming certified coaches who need a certain number of hours of coaching to get their certification, right? So it's kind of like that kind of rock in the hard place, right? They need the hours of coaching in order to get their coaching certificate, but they've been through their training. It's like, you know, when you show up at the emergency room and they give you a resident, same thing. Although I object to that. No offense to residents. And you go and you find yourself a coach. You find yourself a mastermind group. The minute my company hit the $1 million mark, I was in a mastermind group and had been for 2 years. I couldn't do it without the support. It has been my experience with my clients, the women in the academy, that they can't do it without accountability and support. You need to be in an environment where you're celebrated. You need to be in an environment where, like I did yesterday, I posted a picture of me at some ungodly hour in the airport saying I'm on my way to Texas to speak to these fabulous group of women. I had my, you know, paparazzi shades on. And you know what? I had a lot of people on Facebook saying, go get them. Do it. Great. rock on. Yeah. You need that. And it's not bragging. It's not being someone you're not. It's not trying to take credit. It's not any of that. It's about getting the support to do what you need to do in the world. I'm going to wrap up with this piece, and then I'm going to go to questions. How many of you in here feel like what you do changes people's lives? All right, like not enough hands. Wait a minute, hold on. How many of you feel like what you do changes people's lives? Okay. So I'm going to say this. Wouldn't it be a shame then if somebody who needs you, for example, what do? You're a Starbucks manager. I need my coffee, right? Seriously, for a lot of people, that's their day. You screw up their coffee and it is a wrap for them for the whole day. Am I right? Seriously, right? It sets the tone for their day because it's part of their ritual. Don't trivialize anything. It sets the tone for their day because it's part of their get up and go take on the world ritual. What if this woman decides, you know what, I don't deserve to be a Starbucks manager? What if she hides and plays small? What if you, because you don't want to be seen as masculine, or you don't want to be seen as a go-getter, or you don't want to be seen as somebody who's going to go out and eat life and not sit back and take things by default, but you're going to make stuff happen in your life? What if you decide not to do that? How many people will not be served? How many people's lives will not be changed? It is my contention, when I talk about influence and talk about becoming more influential, that when you are given the gift of whatever it is that you do, that you would get up to do for free, that gets you out of bed every single morning, when you're passionate about whatever it is, I don't care if it's making shoes, I don't care if it's cleaning houses, I don't care about any of that. Whatever it is you're passionate about, if you have been given that passion, it is your duty to show up and change lives with that talent. You are obligated to do that. You are obligated to show up in a big way. You must, because you would not have been given that skill or that talent otherwise. You must use what you're good at. And for those of you who think that what you do doesn't change lives, for the hands that were not raised, like that's a sit down and have a cup of Starbucks moment and think about it and why you feel that way. That's a think about it moment. So visit her Starbucks and visit her. All right, so I'm going to open it up for questions. We probably have, what, 5 minutes? I have 15. Oh, okay, great, awesome. So I want to open it up for questions. Anything that you have about growing your business, any questions? I only bite on Thursday, so come up to the mic. She's got a question. I love people who kick it off. Yeah. The mics are in the center aisles.
I gotta get it together.
Okay. I love getting it together.
Hi, I'm Katie.
Hey, Katie.
Hello. I'm the broker and owner of Team Realty of Texas.
All right.
In Austin.
Team Realty.
And I had a question for you. You touched on number 2, tool selection.
Yeah.
What offline tools do you recommend?
You can speak. You can write for a print publication. What I love is, starting in 2013, I'm going to be hosting social media salons for women entrepreneurs. So you can get all your real estate people together. And salons are different than events because they're more stylish, right? And you can chat and chew and have convo and all that good stuff. So you can actually, and usually what happens is, and I like to kind of pair my activities. I support women business owners. So what I'll do is I'll have my salons at a local boutique where I'd like to support them, right? And they're kind of slow in the evenings. Their foot traffic is kind of slow once it dies down. Or they'll say, you know what, Tuesdays are really slow for us. And we'll just kind of commandeer the boutique for that evening. And I'll invite my people in and we'll talk. And I'll have an open Q&A or I'll have a topic that I want to chat about. But you can absolutely do salons if you'd like to. You can do training sessions where people can learn more about real estate, right? Are you commercial or residential?
Residential.
Okay. So homeowner stuff is huge. You know, you can do, if you'd like to, you can have salons about single mom homeownership or entrepreneur homeownership. I got to tell you, as an entrepreneur, buying my house was a pain in the ass.
Man, Austin's going to explode with this salon concept. That's great.
Salon!
I wanted to add something to your coaching. It's very biblical in Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and man sharpens man. And we need each other. We need
Absolutely.
Those coaches. Thank you.
What was that? Proverbs who?
27:17.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. We do need it. Thank you. Yes, we're going to go like tennis.
What
yes.
about influencing in more of a male-dominated environment?
You mean like technology where I work?
Well, yeah, like technology, but learning, you know, your number three, I think, is really good about learning to figure out, you know, who do you need to use to get to where you're at. But sometimes in more of a male-dominated environment, when you're the woman, I think there's sometimes a risk of being viewed of as like a shadow of different men. And
Absolutely.
You don't get viewed as yourself. Mm-hmm. You get viewed as through them.
Yeah.
So, but yet you need to use the men to
get what we want. That's right.
Thoughts?
So here's the deal with that. And I take a really hard line on that. I wrote a blog post and you guys can Google it. It's called, I can't remember the exact title, but it's called The New Rules of Social Media for Women or something like that, like rules of social media. And it's online, but a lot of it is like offline too, right? So the first thing is don't try to be one of the guys, right? You're not. Like, you don't have the parts. You're not equipped, right?
Well, so yeah, you can't follow them into the bathroom.
Right, like immediately when you try to be a guy, you come up short. Like, either way you want to look at that, right?
Yeah.
So immediately you're at a deficit. And also, mind how they interact with you, right? So what I notice men do is they'll say, oh, I love that little speech you gave. Really? That was my big speech. Right? No, because they kind of use that kind of diminutive tone, you know? And so be mindful of that. Because guys will love to lead you to believe that they don't pay attention to details. And I'm a broad stroke kind of a guy. No, you don't. You pay attention to the details at home because your wife makes you. And you're going to pay attention to the details with me, too. So it's all about how you allow them to speak to you. And it's all about how you carry yourself, right? What I find is that men will respect you if you respect yourself. And if you command a certain kind of, if you walk in to meetings with a certain kind of energy, as far as them not seeing you, that's up to you. You've got to get out there and say, here's my idea. And in the meeting, when they say, well, I mean, you don't want to be grabby about it, but when you feel like someone has taken your idea and made it their own, say so. You know, say, you know, it's really interesting, John, that you're talking about this, because when I was putting out together the PowerPoint presentation to introduce this concept to the team, like, it can just be that, mm-hmm. right? So we call that shade, right? Just a little shade, just a little shade, right? To just let everybody know, like, this is where the idea originated. This is where it came from. So Bob can tell you whatever he wants to tell you, but this was my idea. And you really have to nuance it, but don't try to be one of them.
All right.
And invite yourself to their stuff. If they're going to golf, all right, when's tee off? Right? Don't wait for someone to invite you, because it's not going to happen, especially not with guys. Sometimes they don't think about stuff like that.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
Good morning, Lena. Thank you for a great presentation.
Thank you. Good morning.
My name is Megan Tall. I'm a life, wellness, and business coach. So Ooh. Thank you for talking about coaches. And I want to give these women here today the opportunity to actually experience coaching today and take action on that because we are offering coaching in the exhibit hall from 3 to 5. We have 40 coaches.
Woo!
So take advantage,
I'm in the
lady.
Pavilion. If you guys want to coach with me, I'm a pavilion person.
So I just wanted to share that because they can actually take action on that.
Thank you for that, for bringing that to our attention. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yes.
Lena, would you extrapolate on the mastermind? I mean, how to find that right cohesive group? Is it something, you know, is it a national outreach where you have a weekly conference call or is it a local group? And do you you want to make sure that there's some like-minded people but different-minded people so they challenge your thinking and push your buttons a little bit?
Yeah, thank you so much for that. So the first thing is, how do you find a mastermind? You find it by hook or by crook. When I was looking for a mastermind group and I read Think and Grow Rich and I got introduced to the concept of masterminding, you know how you meet someone and they say, it was so good to meet you, Lena. If there's ever anything I can do for you, let me know. And you kind of say, okay, and you too. No, no, no. You don't let that opportunity pass. When they say, if there's ever anything I can do for you, you say, you know what? There is. I'm going to take you up on that. I'm looking for a mastermind group. Do you know anyone that's any group that's already existing or forming or being created or whatever? And that's, I asked about 20 people. I made it my mission when I decided to be in a mastermind group and find a mastermind group. I made it my mission to ask every single person I knew. They introduced me to this guy named Jonathan, and I was in that mastermind group for a total of 3 years. And in year two, my company hit the $1 million mark. So I know for a fact it was having the people in the group who were saying to me, well, are you sure you want to do that? Is that what you want to do? And it's absolutely, you don't want to have yes people in your group. You don't want to have people who are combative and like getting on your damn nerves either. But you also want people that are going to challenge you and say, hey, that's not what you said you wanted. What's with the shift? What's going on? What's changed? You want to have the kind of different opinions and the different types of, and personalities in the group as well. And don't get locked in the mastermind group. That's the other thing about masterminds. We kind of get comfortable and we stay there. I moved on, right? I hit the mark. I moved on after a year. You've got to kind of say, hey, thanks so much. This has been real, but I got to keep it moving. So those are my mastermind tips. Also, for those of you who know Cheryl Richardson, I don't know if you guys know Cheryl Richardson. On her website, there are loads of groups. For a while, she took them down, and now they're back again. And you can go, and those are national groups that you can join. And my online mastermind through the Cheryl Richardson group, we meet once a month on a bridge line, a phone line, and we all talk. So find mastermind help. Oh, also, meetup.com is huge. People, Meetup has gotten a really bad rap. Look, no one's going to hand it to you. You may have to go to 4 or 5 different meetups to find your peeps. You may have to kiss some frogs to get in there and find the people that your tribe, the people you need to be with. That's okay. That's fine. Go until you find your people, and then you'll know where you are. Is that helpful? Okay, 5 minutes. Yes.
Hi, Lena.
Hi.
Thank you so much. I loved everything that you gave. My name is Becky Bennis. And I, too, am an author and speaker.
Yay.
I write a column, and I part of what I do is also I'm a certified money and marketing coach for women entrepreneurs.
Oh,
my
Becky's doing
to
it.
You
All right.
is twofold.
Yeah.
With my, I've been writing a column in our local paper, and I would love to get that syndicated, if anyone knows what that is. I get, it's a spiritual, it's called Something to Consider, to really help people dig deep about what blocks them in their thinking to break them through into a spiritual filled life.
Okay, so your question is how to get it syndicated?
If you know that, and then also how to take that message on a bigger stage and find the influencers to create speaking opportunities. Like
okay,
this one.
So when you say spiritual, is it Christian based then?
Well, I'm... I have created a movement for creating peace through interfaith conversations, education, and building relationships. So even though I am Christian-based, my influence
it's appropriate for everyone.
Is, you know, in West Texas, based on my efforts, since I'm going to toot my horn,
okay.
We now have at our city council meetings Muslims, Buddhists, Christians,
awesome.
Baha'is.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Great work, by the way. I'll say this. The first thing is make sure that you're promoting what you're doing online,
okay.
Right? So we do a lot of work offline, and I love offline, but there is absolutely nothing that's going to get you the reach that you want, like taking that column and putting it online. So it could be a blog post that you write about it in, or you can guest blog on, there's a Facebook and a website called PositivelyPositive.com, and they accept guest contributions. And if you are a print columnist, it would go over really well with them. That would be kind of like credibility for you with them. And so I would go to websites like Positively Positive, and what's the other one, SelfGrowth.com, and become a columnist, become a contributor, and get your works online. As for becoming, getting on stage and that sort of a thing, and by the way, that will get you syndication. If you do that enough, you will get more and more people sharing what you have to say and sharing your message. As far as getting on stage and talking about it, you've got to be willing to speak wherever they will have you. I have spoken in church basements. I have spoken in clothing stores. I have spoken at libraries. You have got to start somewhere. I think so often our coaches want to tell us to think big, and a lot of them won't kind of keep it real with us and tell you. Nobody's going to pay you $5,000 to speak until you have kind of cut your chops. So I would say be willing to speak wherever they will have you, and be willing to do so on your own dime for a certain period of time, and do it consistently. You know, don't speak here and do one speaking. I speak 30 times a year, right? I'm committed to that. That's part of how I grow my business. That's part of how I grow my influence. So you've got to be committed to it in your own way. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes. Last question.
Am I allowed to make a comment as well as ask a question?
Absolutely not. We don't accept. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Oh. actually, this is really high for me. Okay. My comment was more for the ladies in the audience. I'm going to be honest. When you asked the question, how many of you feel like you have meaningful work that impacts people's lives, I only noticed that maybe a quarter of us ladies raised our hands.
Mm-hmm. They need and to my have a Starbucks
kind of,
moment.
Yeah, and my heart's kind of breaking for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like everybody does meaningful work. That's
absolutely
my personal opinion. And so I didn't want to leave here without saying that, and you second that, and I agree. And I believe in what you said, that you have to show up.
Yeah.
And I love that idea. So can y'all help me feel better today? Who has meaningful work? Raise your hand.
Me.
Everybody. Thank you. Okay, my
absolutely
comment. Thank you for that. My comment, my question is, you had made the, you had talked about how you made connection with Gail King over Facebook.
Yeah.
My question is, how did you go from making a Facebook comment with her, kind of like going from that moment to actually getting on her show? And what were the steps you took to reach that point?
I commented on her question. I was honest. And because I was someone who showed up, I was the only person who showed up. She said, actually, there were a couple people who responded, but they responded half-heartedly. They didn't show up. I was the one person who showed up, and I talked about why and why I like TripAdvisor, and I put the actual whole URL in my comment. And she said, awesome feedback, Lena. My producers are going to be reaching out to you to be on our segment tomorrow at 7 a.m. So literally in less than 48 hours, I was on Gail King's show.
That's incredible.
Like, that's how it happens. When you show up and you make the decision to do it, and you commit with everything in your being, it happens. It just happens.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for that. Thank you all for your attention. Sorry I can't provide a segue to get to your next event, but thank you so much. Oh, and I'm doing the pavilion downstairs. So if you guys have more questions or you want to chat, I'm doing the a social media pavilion from 3 to 5.
Forgot that.
Five.
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 Forgot that.